52, Rukmini's message to Krishna. Text number 20, I believe.
20.
Like Shinny. Brahman Krishna Kata Punya. Madhvi Loka Malapaha. Konu Tripyeta Shrinvanaha. Shruto Shrutagyo Nityanutanaha. Brahman Krishna Kata Punyaha. Madhvi Loka Malapaha. Konu Tripyeta Shrinvanaha. Shrutagyo Nityanutanaha. Brahman Krishna Kata Punya. Madhvi Loka Malapaha. Konu Tripyeta Shrinvanaha. Sutagyo Nityanutanaha.
Brahman Krishna Kata Punya.
Madhvi Loka Malapaha.
Konu Tripyeta Shrinvanaha.
Srutagyo Nityanutanaha. Brahman. O Brahmana. Krishna Kata.
Krishna Kata.
Topics of Krishna.
Punyaha.
Pious. Madhvi.
Sweet.
Loka.
Of the world.
Mala.
The
contamination. Apaha. Which remove. Kaha.
Who.
Nu.
At all.
Tripyeta. Would become satiated. Shrinvanaha. Hearing. Shruta.
What is heard.
Gyaha. Who can. Oh, sorry. Who can understand. Nitya.
Always.
Nutanaha.
Novel.
What experienced listener, O Brahmana, could ever grow satiated while listening to the pious, charming and ever-fresh topics of Lord Krishna, which cleanse away the world's contamination? Repeat after me. What experienced listener, O Brahmana, could ever grow satiated while listening to the pious, charming and ever-fresh topics of Lord Krishna, which cleanse away the world's contamination. There's no purport here. But it's a verse that we could speak on, I think. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaheyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum lankayate girim yat kripa tamaham mande shri gurum dinacharinam. Who's speaking? Who is speaking in this verse? Parikshit Maharaj. O Brahmana. Who's the Brahmana that he's speaking to? Sukadeva Goswami. So he's saying, O Brahmana. He's requesting. Krishna Kata Punyaha Madhvir, which means the topics of Krishna are pious and sweet, and loka mala apaha. Mala means dirty things, impurities, unconsciousness, if you like, ignorance. The topics of Krishna are, if one recites the topics of Krishna, this is a very pious activity, because these narrations of Krishna's pastimes are very sweet and spiritually powerful. They can remove the ignorance or the darkness. They can remove the contamination of material existence. Very powerful. Apaha means which remove. Then who? Who is there? Who, having heard these topics, which are always nitya, nitya, nutanaha, always new, 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 nutanaha. It's translated as novel, but new. The topics of Krishna are so potent that a person who hears them is never satiated. Never satiated. They're always fresh. Interesting, always fresh. So this is the potency of hearing Krishna Katha. Extremely powerful, because and what this does is it actually delineates the difference between material and spiritual. Right? Material is temporary. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So even though it may bring some happiness, topics of the material realm, things of the material realm may bring some happiness, that happiness is temporary. And it's always followed then by what?
Distress.
Distress. Yeah, whatever amount of happiness you get, well, watch out. There's distress just around the corner. What to do? This is the nature of the material world. Asat. Actually, this is one of the weaknesses of heart is asat trishna. Right? Having a taste for things material. The devotees cultivate a taste for things spiritual. That's why we regularly hear the topics of the Bhagavatam. So that we can identify the benefits of material and the benefits of spiritual. There are some benefits of the material creation. But the benefits, if you like, well, the benefits of material facility, you know, having a material body is that especially in the human form of life, you can end up all of your material activities and get out of the material world. The material creation has actually been designed in such a way so that we can explore our propensities, our enjoying propensities, our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. We're given that facility, but ultimately the material world is designed in such a way so as to make us realize that actually it is not a place to stay, because it's always going to be a source of distress for us. So hearing about spiritual topics, hearing about spiritual subject matters, gives us an opportunity to understand this very important point. And the experience of the devotees is that when one becomes absorbed in material activities, even though there may be some temporary feelings of pleasure, in the end, it only leads to dissatisfaction and disenchantment. I mean, there are numerous examples that I can think of. You know, when I was a young teenager, I used to, my hobby was collecting rock and roll music. And I'd spend hours listening to, my record. But then eventually I'd just get to the end of it all and I think, oh no, I've heard that before, oh, I don't want to listen to that again. Oh no, not that one, I've already heard that 100 times. Then you're always eager for the latest release. Let me listen to the latest song. But then after a while, what happens? You just get sick of it and throw it away. But the topics of Krishna consciousness, Krishna Katha, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we keep reading the same thing. The same thing. Prabhupada says this is proof that topics about Krishna are not mundane, because we see that. We're reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam. When we get to the end, what do? We turn around and come back to the beginning again. And just keep reading. And every time we read it, we find some new, here it says, new tanaha. The word new is there. It's new. Even though we've read it before. Bhagavad Gita, even though we've read it many, many times. Each time we read the topics of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we find some new realization out of it. And Prabhupada says this is because the topics of the material creation will always become hackneyed and dissatisfied. Therefore the Paramahamsas give these things up. You know, they're described as being the refused remnants of sense gratification, chewing the chewed. You know, the juice has already been squeezed out of it, but still we pick it up, trying to chew it some more, and ultimately we're dissatisfied. Whereas and that kind of association, that association that is attached to and is enamored by enjoying the material creation, is avoided by the devotees. Very dangerous. So, you know, when Prabhupada initiated the devotees in the first initiation at 26 Second Avenue, then the next day there was a list of things, you know, initiated devotees must not, and there was a list of things. And one of them was must not associate, you know, must associate, it wasn't a must not, it was a must. Must associate exclusively with devotees. Or must not associate with non-devotees. That's one of Prabhupada's. Actually, the devotees got quite a surprise when they just, you know, Prabhupada told the devotees, we're going to have an initiation. So the devotees said, oh, what's that? That sounds interesting. You know, and on the day of the initiation, Prabhupada told them, that they had to chant 64 rounds and follow the regular, you know, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. And the devotees were sort of like, wow, no tea or coffee. Because in one sense, you know, the material energy is extremely powerful and very attractive in all of its different forms. Yet it is a trap. Because even though one becomes enamored by the material creation, still it's, and it looks very attractive. It looks, it has a promise, or there appears to be a promise of fulfillment, because it is asat, temporary, then there is no such. I mean, this is the potency of Maya, the Maya Shakti, it's designed in such a way so that it looks very attractive, but actually it is very disappointing. So therefore, it's recommended that one avoids the association of persons who are attached to material enjoyment, attached to material acquisition, attached to material, to talking about things material, and associate exclusively with the devotees. Because the devotees relish and they get great satisfaction. Dushyanti cha ramanti cha. They get great satisfaction. Here, what is the word? Tripyeta. Tripyeta. Being satiated. We have that triptan. What is it? The devotees like to taste the prasad of Krishna. They like to hear the Krishna katha. It's enlivening to hear topics about Krishna. Why? Because it removes the contamination of material existence. But not only that, it helps us realize our eternal spiritual position. So it uncovers, it takes away the material, and it reveals the spiritual. Now, there's a question at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita: what will happen now that Krishna has disappeared, and along with him, religion and knowledge? And of course, the answer is: well, people will get enlightenment from the Srimad Bhagavatam. For this very reason, by regularly reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, then all that is troublesome to the heart is eradicated. All material attachments are eradicated in the hearts of those who are attracted to the topics of Krishna, and they're never satiated here. It says, they're never satisfied, they're always eager to hear. Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book that actually, for the devotees, all of the topics about Krishna are attractive and satisfying. He mentions that there are some who don't like to hear about Krishna fighting on a battlefield of Kurukshetra. They don't like to hear about Krishna's belly, Prabhupada says, Krishna's bellicose activities. They like to hear about Krishna sporting in the forest with the gopis. But they don't like to hear about Krishna running away from Jarasandha on the battlefield. They don't like to hear about Krishna's fighting. They want to hear about Krishna's loving. It is actually material appreciation of Krishna's activities. All of Krishna's activities are loving, actually. Even when he's fighting with the demons, he's doing that out of love. You know, just an example of a parent. You know, a parent may be hugging and kissing their child. That's out of love and affection. But they may also be threatening him with a stick. You know, stay away from the sink cupboard. If you go near the sink cupboard, then I'll smack you. So why does a parent want to smack their child? Because they don't like them? No, because they want to, out of love and affection, they want to protect them. So we're recommended to avoid the association of those who are attached to materialistic thought, materialistic mentality, materialistic discussion. Because it will be a source of distress, basically. And will only fuel material affection. And even Prabhupada recommends we also avoid those devotees who are, they like to hear about Krishna, but they're selective. And Prabhupada calls them the Prakriti Sahajyas. They're still attached to material enjoyment, although they appear to be, on the surface, devotional. Such devotees should be respected. Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. We should respect such persons. But we should keep our distance from them. In fact, it's not recommended that sadhikas associate with persons who have make a show of spirituality but aren't actually dedicated to the process of purification. This is a sadhika. Sadhika may still have some attachment, there may still be some affection for material enjoyment, but he doesn't act on it. Or, if there is some difficulty, then by introspection and by rededication of the process, they refocus and adjust their existence in such a way so that they're not going to be, their devotional service is not going to be disturbed. Devotional service is nityam. It is always, it's eternal. It's meant to be performed constantly, not something that we do during the week and then we have a break on the weekends. And as a result of that constant engagement in devotional service, then one becomes enthused, one becomes enlivened. When we're not being enlivened by our devotional service, that's usually an indication that there's some material motivation that's lurking in the heart that needs to be analysed and removed. You know, Mahaprabhu gives the example of the devotees, the sadhakas, being gardeners, and that they're trying to nurture and nourish and grow the seed of bhakti, the bhakti lata bij. The bhakti lata bij is a creeper, and a creeper doesn't grow on its own. A creeper grows like on a trellis, or you know, grows in the forest on other trees. Right? The bhakti lata bij, the creeper of devotion, grows on the tree of pure devotional service. It can also grow on, motivations of karma or motivations for jnana. It can also grow, but it doesn't flourish and it won't be successful in producing the fruit of love of Godhead if it doesn't rest on the tree of pure devotional service. This is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Mahaprabhu. And we're able to have the creeper of devotional service grow on the tree of pure devotional service by hearing, by avoiding bad association. Even amongst the devotees, we have to be somewhat discriminating sometimes to avoid persons who are still attached to material, or even to remove within ourselves attachments to things material. Knowing, this is why we're hearing regularly, knowing full well that this will not, there's a type of association that doesn't enhance our pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is what will be successful. If it is adulterated with some material consideration, then that means it's temporary. It'll manifest for some time, it'll last for a while, but then it will be destroyed, disappear. And along with that attachment to material things will come some distress, unhappiness, which is fine. We can appreciate the distress and the unhappiness that we experience in the material world is Krishna teaching us a lesson. But actually, you know, just like the child is taught a lesson by the parent, and sometimes it's not pleasant to be, you know, chastised by your mother and father. We want to be loved by our mum and dad. But occasionally, you know, mum and dad have to chastise us. You're a naughty boy. No, I'm not. This is the problem. We think, I'm a pure devotee, how come I'm getting chastised? Well, isn't it interesting? Even the pure devotees, if you look at how the pure devotees behave, they accept Krishna's, the difficulties, as an opportunity to render service to Krishna. And even they, even though they're pure-hearted and have no material consideration, no material contamination, they accept it for their own purification. Yeah? So we should also. And, you know, the ability to discriminate comes from hearing regularly the Bhagavatam, hearing the Bhagavad Gita, refreshing our realizations on a continual basis, constant basis, so that we're able to see the material world for what it is. And also so we can appreciate the benefits, you know, the positive alternative of Krishna consciousness. If we're not regularly hearing and chanting, and if we're not, you know, pulling out these weeds that choke up our devotional creeper, we're like a gardener. So the garden has to be, you know, we have to fence off the garden, we have to water the plant, but at the same time we have to pull out the weeds. And that's why the hearing and chanting is so important, so we can learn what the process is, and so we can identify a weed when it pops up. Uh-oh, there's a weed. And sometimes the weeds look like devotional service. This is the, you know, weeds are tricky. If you go and have a look at the front lawn, there's some weeds growing in amongst the lawn that ultimately they're not actually as good as the lawn itself. They look like the lawn initially, but as they grow up, they clump up and they choke up the lawn, actually. So you have to pull them out. Looks, in the beginning they look like, oh, this is all, the lawn is all green, but then you have a look at it, half of it's weeds. So the devotees are never satiated by, especially if one is approaching the Bhagavatam with this mood of service and of wanting to make some advancement in devotional service, then it helps us make progress. We become attached to the topics of Krishna consciousness. Our intellect becomes more finely tuned, and we're able to make progress by discernment. We can identify, this is material, this is spiritual, let me take the spiritual. Because ultimately, even though there may be some austerity in that, that type of austerity leads to ultimately to liberation, to purification, to enlightenment. Enthusiasm comes as a result, determination comes as a result, patience comes as a result, positive qualities come as a result. Does anyone have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes, Mahapati.
Why devotee is not completely satisfied by hearing Krishna?
Why is he not completely satisfied? Not that he's... Well, the point is that they like to hear and continue to hear on and on and on.
For the mother.
Nutana. Because of love, yeah, love may be there. Maybe just because it sounds good initially.
Yeah.
Right? It's attractive. Tasty. Right? Svadu, svadu, pade, pade is a verse in the first canon of the Bhagavatam. Very, very tasty. At every step, the devotees relish. They enjoy it. So initially, it may be that we're just attracted to the topics. Love for Krishna will, in due course of time, manifest. Although that's somewhat elevated. But that's the end result. But it says here they're attractive. Nutanaha, always novel. Nitya nutanaha means always new, always fresh. You know, Krishna is navayovanam, always, even though he's the Purana, which means the oldest, still he presents as a youth, ever fresh. So he's the oldest, and you know, this is a common conception. God is the oldest, a wrinkled old man. Right? But even though God happens to be the oldest, he presents as the youngest, as the most youthful, as the freshest. That's the nature of spiritual. Or ever fresh, navayovanam, always youthful. Yes.
What was the comments that the pin says to the sea, I see some hole, or the sea says to the pin, I see some hole in you?
Yes, that's true.
So even within the society.
The pin says, speak for yourself.
Within the society, devotees are beginning to a fault finding mentality?
Within so the society. I don't think it's. Yeah.
I see some hole.
Yeah.
So. Because I'm also full of holes, then I'm going to see some hole. How to
avoid fault finding?
Yeah.
Come to the Bhagavatam class every day.
Even just in personal dealings, you know, like just very small things, you know, sometimes not seeing the good, but seeing the bad instead.
One has to train oneself to see the good, to see the positive, although sometimes that's pretty hard. But it's certainly it's a good, you know, on the one hand we shouldn't be foolish and, you know, just gloss over a person's character, right? We're actually meant to be discriminating. This is recommended by Rupa Goswami. One should discriminate. So it's not that we don't recognize somebody who has faults. Right? But what a devotee tends to do is look for the positive in that person that can be encouraged, that can be fanned to increase their Krishna consciousness. Right? But there are many places where Prabhupada says, you know, we should avoid the association of a particular type of person. And that includes those who do chant Hare Krishna, but are still attached to, you know, to bad association or sinful activities. Interestingly enough, right? So, you know, it's not that we can't see some fault in a person as a Madhyam Bhakta, but the thing is, we should be careful in our observation of faults, especially when they're not balanced by appreciation of the person's good qualities. Right? So this is the test. There's a test. You have to balance up. You have to weigh up the qualities of a person. So first of all, you have to understand, or you have to know what qualities we're looking for. Right? and you have to be able to see them and then be able to weigh them up. A person may have some, you know, we're in a material world, so there's no doubt there'll be some faults. But, you know, as you mentioned, you know, the needle has got a hole in him, but the sieve is full of holes. He's got one hole, but then he has so many good qualities. We can minimise the one bad quality that a person has in the light of so many good qualities. Right? So this is, we can understand balance on the whole. Is this person, and you know, Haridas Thakur in the Harinam Chintamani, what we're looking for in a devotee is the tendency of that person to surrender to Krishna. So we may find a person who's endeavouring wholeheartedly to be a devotee, and there may be some fault. That can be overlooked. But if we find a person who's morose, bellicose, you know, doesn't want to surrender to Krishna, and Krishna's devotees always arguing with them, telling them what to do, finding faults with them all of the time, and then they don't, you know, they might do a little bit of devotional service, but most of the time they create a headache. Well, that kind of person, we generally, you know, on the whole, we'll balance it up and say, well, you know, there's certainly a degree of Krishna consciousness here, but it's overshadowed by a fair bit of, you know, confusion. So we'll be merciful to such a person. Yes, take prasadam, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever, but we generally will avoid that close association with such a person. Huh? So we're looking for a balance. Not so much a balance. We're looking for we actually are calculating. Is this person really desirous to surrender to Krishna and just has some difficulty on occasion because of attachments, anattas, which will gradually be purified by the process of devotional service? Or is this person has a somewhat of an affection for Krishna consciousness, but also has some, you know, is carrying a big caravan of baggage? Huh?
So I just wonder, because we're discriminating, some people said they leave the society of devotees because
of lack of discrimination.
Because they're not being nurtured, even though sometimes there's lots of offences there. But
they're not very sincere.
Well,
because they don't want to give up their material attachments, and they don't like being told, you're materially attached. Give it up. Oh, you're not being very kind to me. Devotees are supposed to be merciful. What are you picking on me for? Sorry? We're all here. We're here. We are the senior devotees.
Yeah, I understand.
You know how you become a senior devotee? Jabhatoka Maharaj said this once. He said, the only reason why I'm here as a senior devotee is because all the others went away.
Yeah.
That's how you become a senior devotee. Just stick around. Don't have to do anything special. You just stay. And Prabhupada did say, don't be surprised who goes. Don't be surprised who goes. You know, people say, oh, but you know, look, I can tell you quite frankly, in this community of devotees, pretty much people are respected and people are looked after and people are given an opportunity to perform devotional service. There are very few devotees here who are so mean and nasty that they just chase people away. There's not, really, not in this community of devotees. You know, maybe we as managers push people around a little bit, but you know, if you want to get something done, you don't just say, oh, it's all right, do what you like, it's okay. Prabhupada loved everybody. Right? No, just like I was saying, when Prabhupada initiated the devotees, what did he do? Boom, the next day, up on the door of the ashram, here's the rules. Right? The devotees sort of saw the rules. What? No tea or coffee? Right? It was a big thing for them. Prabhupada didn't tell them the day before they got initiated there was no tea or coffee, that it just appeared on the rule sheet the next morning. Huh? So it's like, wow, no tea or coffee. And that means we can't go down the deli to get a donut. Because Prabhupada said you're not allowed to eat food that's not cooked by a devotee. They didn't know that bit either. Right? So, you know, I think on the whole, people who, certainly in this, you know, there was one devotee here who's not here anymore, that he used to get worried that too many people would come for the Sunday feast. So he used to greet guests and tell them to go away. Because he didn't want them to eat all of the Sunday feast, and so he missed out. Of course, there was never ever a time when you know anybody missed out on the Sunday. You know, if you miss out on the Sunday feast here, then you came pretty late. And probably, you know, if you stick around for half an hour, then you'll be able to have the 9 o'clock or something. You know, it's not. I won't mention his name, and he was not slightly eccentric, you know, very eccentric character. But you know, on the whole, you know, people are encouraged. And usually, what my experience is, if they go away saying, you know, oh, the devotees are too heavy and too, you know, they're not really encouraging, then it's because basically they're not encouraging, you know, inappropriate behaviour. That's why people will go away, because, you know, we say things like, get up and go to Mongol Arctic, chant your rounds with the devotees, go to Bhagavatam class every day, you know, give up your material attachments. Basically, and sometimes we don't like that. We're a bit attached. We like our anattas.
Yes, also on that point,
yeah.
Lord Krishna says, "Apiche durajara bhate mamaniha."
Yeah.
Even if somebody has got bad character,
we tolerate them. But that requires some discrimination. That requires some discrimination. You know, I was just talking to a devotee who was living here and then had to go to another location, and he said to me, Prabhu, after spending a few months away from Melbourne, he said, if anybody complains about how you're doing things wrong in Melbourne, he said, just tell them to forget it. It's not... My experience in other places is a lot worse than anything that I ever had here. So it was Krishna's arrangement to take me away so that I could appreciate what I'd lost.
So a person that's offensive ultimately eradicates himself?
Usually, yes. Yes, that's right. One has to be a little patient.
Yeah.
And... usually they remove themselves after some time. It can be painful waiting for that. It's generally the case. You know, those devotees who remain devotees and devotional and engaged in devotional service, usually they're able to do that because they don't commit offences to the devotees. And even if they're externally, or it appears as they're being offensive, right? Don't do that, do it properly. You know, they might be forceful. The mood in doing that is serve Krishna properly, right? That's what it, you know, so the mood, they may be chastising others, you fool. Why do you do it properly? But the mood is surrender and do the service to Krishna properly. Right? So externally it might appear as if they're harsh or they're pushing or they're critical. Right? But their mood of they're performing, that's a service. Right? Some of us have that service. As a manager you have that service of having to be a critic sometimes. But It's not done in an offensive mood. It's done in a mood of, you know, do yourself a favour. It's compassionate. Yes, it's compassionate. I remember once one of my dear friends pinned me up against the kitchen wall after I'd cleaned the Didi's plates with a scourer. You imbecile! You fool! Because everybody knows who that is. But, you know, he wasn't getting on my case because I was an imbecile and a fool. Of course I was an imbecile and a fool. But because he wanted to see the service to Krishna done nicely. That was all. It wasn't that he got pleasure out of, you know, attacking people. Although sometimes it looked like it did. And actually, in one sense, if we... that devotee would admit that being overly heavy on people is detrimental to your devotional service. But still, those of us who are on the receiving end took it as Krishna's mercy, because as a result of that chastisement, as a result of that encouragement, also because there's encouragement in there, then we became better devotees. Right? We became better devotees. And, you know, there were times when I was a younger devotee, even now, you know, get a bit lazy, want to sleep in, you know, oh, life is hard, want to take it easy. Right? But we need sometimes a bit of encouragement. Come on, come on, come on, get up. Jeev Jago. So that's why I said sincerity is important, because what happens is if we're lacking a little bit of sincerity, we'll have faults. Another devotee will point it out to us, and then we'll become belligerent and blame them for the problem. This is what happens. It happened to me many times. I tell somebody to do something, and they say, oh, what are you picking on me for? And then I'm the one who's got the problem. And I'm just trying to help them do their service better, but then I've got the problem.
Yeah.
Good point. Yes, self-analysis is required. That's the discrimination part. The problem with self-analysis is that it can be quite painful, because you have to get to know yourself, and sometimes we discover that we're not a very pleasant person. Right, we should finish here. Bhantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.